Welcome to our afternoon message stream live from the Heritage Baptist Activity Center. We hope you had a good week, and we pray that our afternoon message would be a blessing and a help to you. Last week, we stopped at verse 9 of chapter 1 of the book of Nehemiah. Let us now continue with the last two verses of the chapter, that is chapter 1, verses 10 to 11. But for the sake of context, let us begin reading from chapter 1, verse 8. Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 8 to 11. And I shall read it for you. In verse 8, Nehemiah prayed, saying, "Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, If ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if ye turn unto me, and keep my commandments, and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence, and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now these are thy servants, and thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power, and by thy strong hand. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant, and to the prayer of thy servants, who desire to fear thy name and prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer." The Lord bless the reading of his holy word. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Most Holy Father, in a world of turmoil and strife, destruction and war threaten on every hand. Truly, the world offers nothing but insecurity and unrest. We have no hope but in your word. While we serve you here below, we seek those things which are written in your word. Help us to set our affection on this word from above, not on things of the world. Teach us to deny all ungodliness and worldly lusts, and to live soberly and righteously, daily looking for the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Children sometimes have an inflated sense of their ability to hide their guilt, even when evidence of their guilt is literally all over their faces. When have you caught a child red-handed? How did the child respond? Have you ever returned home to find your pet broke something or tore something apart? What was it? How do you respond to your pet? How do your pets respond? Most dogs will reveal their guilt by trying to act naturally or by simply avoiding eye contact. They don't like facing the consequences of their actions. God caught Nehemiah and the repatriated Jews in Jerusalem red-handed. Instead of trying to act naturally or simply avoiding the issue, instead of denying their sin problem, Nehemiah responded by owning it and asking God for forgiveness. Nehemiah prayed for personal restoration. Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 4 to 9. In particular, in praying for personal restoration, Roman numeral 1, he recognized sins. Offensiveness. Roman numeral 2. He acknowledged God's greatness. Roman numeral 3. He requested God's forgiveness. Roman numeral 4. He appealed to God's faithfulness. Not only did Nehemiah pray for personal restoration, we shall see today that he continued by praying for physical restoration. Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 10 to 11. Nehemiah, having prayed about personal restoration, turned his attention to the physical restoration of Jerusalem. Jerusalem's broken walls and burned gates needed attention. Roman numeral 5. He reminded God of past redemption. He reminded God of past redemption. Nehemiah chapter 1 verse 10 reads, "Now these are thy servants and thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand." Nehemiah recalled God's redemption of Israel in the past in verse 10, cross-referenced with Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 29. Israel wasn't a desirable people from the world's perspective. They were a nobody nation living as slaves in Egypt. God chose to redeem Israel because He loved them and wanted to show the world His redemptive power. Nehemiah wanted God to continue to act according to that same redemptive love. Of course, Nehemiah had no doubt that God could restore Israel and provide for the physical rebuilding of the walls and gates. How does remembering the price of your redemption affect your hope in God? Nehemiah reminded God of past redemption. In addition, Roman numeral 6, he requested God's present intercession. He requested God's present intercession. Accentuating the earnestness of his request, Nehemiah offered himself before the Lord to be a part of the answer. He said in Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 11, "O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servants and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name, and prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer." Nehemiah requested that God would prosper him. By using the words, "thy servant," Nehemiah placed himself in the hands of God to be used as God saw fit. From merely a human perspective, he was taking a risk by turning himself over to God. His life at Susa was comfortable. His routine was established. He had vocational security for a lifetime. Yet he saw that his spiritual homeland languished, and he willingly sought a way to help the situation. His prayer for prosperity was not a selfish request for personal success. He sought success in accomplishing the will of God. The remainder of the book of Nehemiah is a story of what people can accomplish in the work of God when they give themselves completely over to the Lord for His service. By the way, have you ever responded to a need by offering yourself to God to accomplish His will in meeting the need? It is easy to put off urgent matters that require great personal sacrifice. Nehemiah, however, was willing to be used at once. He asked God to prosper him this day. This again demonstrates the genuineness of his prayer. No wonder Nehemiah became a great spiritual leader. Nehemiah further asked God for mercy in the sight of this man, meaning King Artaxerxes I, for he was the king's cupbearer. As the king's personal cupbearer, Nehemiah was with the king of the Medo-Persian Empire continuously. The cupbearer was in place to shield the king from being poisoned. He tasted the king's food and drink before the king partook of it. We may infer from the context of the next chapter that In the course of performing his duties, Nehemiah had become a trusted and valuable advisor to the king. Nehemiah would not have been in this position if he were not a man of unquestioned loyalty and integrity. The mighty Artaxerxes I had the authority to decree the reconstruction of Jerusalem, but it was against Persian protocol for the cupbearer to make a request before the king. The fact that Artaxerxes I had already made a decree to suspend the construction of Jerusalem's walls made the situation even more risky for Nehemiah. See Ezra chapter 4, verse 11. Nehemiah was obviously fearful of the prospect of making a request of the king. What responses could Nehemiah have had instead about the difficult task? He could have fretted, refused to act because of the almost certain danger, or prayed that God would raise someone else to complete the task. What is your typical response when you are faced with a difficult task as you serve God? It is significant that God sovereignly placed Nehemiah under the only man in the Persian Empire who could reverse his own decree. Nehemiah knew that God moves the hearts of kings. Cross-reference with Proverbs chapter 21, verse 1. So, he prayed for mercy in this king's eyes. Here again is this wonderful balance of divine sovereignty and human responsibility. We may wonder for how long Nehemiah prayed. According to verse 4, it was for certain days. Verse 6 says that he prayed day and night during this time. But when we turn to chapter 2, we learn that his season of prayer lasted roughly 4 months, until the month of Nisan, or March to April of 445 BC. What an intense, single-minded burden he had for the work of the Lord. Recognizing sin's offensiveness, acknowledging God's greatness, requesting God's forgiveness, appealing to God's faithfulness, reminding God of past redemption, and requesting God's present intercession. Nehemiah owned his sin, sought God's forgiveness, and offered himself to God to use in the restoration process. William Carey was once reproached for spending so much time in prayer that he neglected his business. He replied, "Prayer is my real business. Cobbling shoes is a sideline. It just helps to pay expenses." R.A. Torrey once said, "Pray for great things. Expect great things, work for great things, but above all, pray." How have you responded to adversities? Has prayer been one of your responses? Why is prayer the right response to the adversities we face as believers? Do you have any unconfessed sin in your heart that might be responsible for your adversity? Do you recognize the sin's offensiveness? While we weep over the sin and mourn the hurt and loss it caused, we must eventually move on to taking steps toward restoration, turning to God for hope and personal growth. Too much focus on sin's destructiveness leads us to depression, hopelessness, and self-pity. Nehemiah mourned for a season, but he didn't spiral into depression and hopelessness. refusing to be paralyzed by deep regret, he turned to God, his only hope. 1 John chapter 1 verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When you are at the end of the rope, don't just tie a knot and hang on. When you are at the end of the rope, tie a knot, hang on, and swing. When Nehemiah was at the end of the rope, he didn't just tie a knot and hang on. He tied a knot, hung on, and made an effort to swing toward restoration. An incident was told of a lady who could not get over the loss of a valuable watch. A friend who observed this remarked, "Would you like to lose another $1,000? "Of course not," she replied. "Then don't keep brooding over your loss," he added. She saw the point. Have patience with all things, but chiefly have patience with yourself. Do not lose courage in considering your own imperfections, but instantly set about turning to God. Victor Elfson says, God can do wonders with a broken heart if you give him all the pieces. God can do wonders with a broken heart if you give him all the pieces. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer. As I close this afternoon's message, may I remind you of God's promise in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 7, to provide peace to those who pray during adversity. Heads bowed and nobody looking around, nobody moving around. I would like to encourage you to spend a few moments now praying specifically about the adversities you are currently facing. I will close in prayer thereafter.